to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome. Like how I welcome you to the show, like as if that matters. Like as if you're some kind of weird vampire that if I don't welcome you into the show, you won't be able to be in it. By which I mean, listen to it. It's not really a thing that requires a welcome, is it? Isn't it more like just a public park where it's like, I mean, if you choose to go there and you're in it. There doesn't need to be a guy walking around at the fucking park being like, welcome to the park, by the way. You're like, thank you, I already welcomed myself to here. It's sort of like when you go through the drive-thru and they're like, welcome to Wendy's. And I'm like, I mean, I'm already kind of here. We could skip that. That's like a weird sales thing, but I'm sort of like, I mean, I don't really care how you feel about my presence here. I want a double stack. My hunger for a double stack and what I'm going to order does not change based on what you're doing. Also, excuse me. Oh, that's a pleasant way to start a show. Definitely, if we're trying to improve our listener base, it's not like, cough. Have a throat, a wet throat event right at the top of the show. Boy, if you want to talk about attracting listeners, that's a strong entry into that possibility. I think it's like the worst is when you go through the drive-thru and they say something like, how's your day going? Because I'm just ready to start ordering. I've kind of prepared myself mentally to be like, you know, all right, two double stacks, a junior bacon, a small fries, and a small frosty, chocolate frosty. I'm still not over the fact that you have to tell them chocolate or vanilla. Here's how it works, Wendy's. Let me tell you how your own restaurant works. Chocolate is a frosty. A vanilla frosty is a vanilla shake. When people say frosty, they mean fucking chocolate. Nothing else. But when they ask you the question, I'm just sort of like, you've just like totally thrown me off my game. And I don't know if they know that or if they don't know that. Because I do have a different feeling about it if they're like, oh, I know, that's how I entertain myself. I kind of feel like when I worked fast food, it's sort of like, you got to find your own entertainment there, man. Ain't nobody going to find it for you. You've got to find your own fun in the job. And believe me, even what you find is going to be few and far between. And there's not a lot of fun to be had that's not going to get you fired. Or yelled at. If you want to know bad discipline, work in fast food. Because the thing is, like, a manager at a fast food place cannot rely on the tool of being like, don't you want to be, like, a great employee? This could affect your retirement or whatever. Because you're mostly working with people who are like, oh, fuck you. I mean, I could just walk across the street and get the same job at Burger King, so that doesn't really work. And I don't feel a lot of company loyalty, so that never works. So basically what it ends up being, though, is like a super frustrated middle-aged person yelling at a teenager about how they're doing their job badly. And if you ever want to see an example of like, this is somebody working out some of their other issues in this scenario, boy howdy, is that a strong entry into that canon of material. I remember we had this manager named Mark, and I hated Mark, because he would, like, act real friendly and shit, but then when he had to tell you to do something, he was a real dick about it. Like, you know, my first day working with him is when I got my time to lean, time to clean speech, Because it was like I was working the register and there was no one there. So I was just, I like leaned up against the counter and was just like, well, we'll see who shows up. And he was like, oh, no, 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 no. And was like, here's a list of 1,000 things you could do while instead of leaning against the counter. Because it was like, oh, I'm an employee here. And like when you're paying me, you expect me to do shit, huh? All right. Fair enough. But, you know, he was very resentful about it. Which I thought was weird, because I was just like, hey man, I never really had a job like this before. My jobs were like mowing lawns and shit, so that's different. Because you do that until it's done, and then you're done. And you leave. There's a unit of work to be accomplished. It's not like most of the jobs I would have for the rest of my life, where it's like, oh, there's always something to do. Keep yourself busy. That might be the sign of, like, a really bad job or, like, a bad organization, and also is probably a sign of most jobs and organizations, which is, like, you gotta, part of your job is keeping yourself busy, is finding things to do at times. I hate finding things to do. Like, I hate the time that I'm at work and it's, like, you gotta find something to keep you busy. Because it's just like, if there's nothing for me to genuinely do or nothing that needs to be done today, like, I've got things I could do, but let's be honest, if I did this tomorrow, it's just as good as doing it today. Do I really need to come through and do it right now? I mean, do I need to find things to busy myself, or can I just go home? Can't we just, like, send people home and just be like, eh, fuck it. They did enough for today. I'm very attracted to the idea of a job where you complete a unit of work and then go home, or a number of units of work, which basically makes it sound like I want to work in a factory, which isn't exactly what I'm talking about, but maybe that's like what's appealing about freelance type work. It's because you're like, well, I took on this job and I finished it, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, if I'm a freelance graphic designer, I charge them for the work. I charge them what I think it's worth, not what they think it's worth. Or, like, I'm getting paid by the hour to do this job. And, like, I charge enough per hour that I don't stretch the work. I don't have to be like, well, I'm going to stretch this out an extra hour. Like, that's not to anyone's advantage. I'd rather move on to another job and get paid and do that. So I don't know. There's something about that that I want. But I think what I want to incorporate into my life isn't the necessarily doing work per unit. It's just the, like, at some point in the day saying, like, you've accomplished enough, you can go home. Like, I've never been told that in my adult life, and I would like to. Or, you know, it's very, when I worked at, like, a restaurant-type job, you know, they're big into cutting staff if it's slow. Like, if there's some event going on that day, and it's like, oh, fuck, we work at the barbecue restaurant, and, like, 25 miles away, there's some kind of barbecue competition going on, so fucking nobody's coming in here today. So they start cutting staff, and it's like, even though you know at the time, you're like, if I leave, I'm missing out on pay. But you leave. And why do you leave? I don't think it's because you're stupid. Because if you thought about it, I would have to honestly tell myself, you know, if you stay, this is probably the easier work day in terms of, like, things to do. Like, you're not having annoying customers and shit, so that's a plus. But the minus is that you're finding stuff to do. You're trying to keep yourself busy, which usually means you end up doing things that no one ever does. And the reason no one ever does them is A, because they don't need to be done, or B, because they're fucking terrible to do. That's how you end up, like, cleaning out the barbecue vat at Bubba's Barbecue, where they, like, mix the sauce. And the guy's showing you how to clean it, and he dumps, like, soapy water in there, except he forgot to close the valve at the bottom, so it all just spills out on the floor. And so then he's like, well, I guess mop that first, then clean it. And then he's like, or maybe don't mop it first, because you'll probably make a mess cleaning this thing out anyway. And you're just like, okay. So this is never done, and but now we're doing it, which I guess is good for the people who eat this. I guess it's good that it's been cleaned a time, Someone has cleaned this before. On the plus. On the minus, I mean, what the fuck? Seems like kind of a waste of time. But, that's my life. So I was thinking in the continuing effort to expand the reach of this show and the success, and to maybe I will get that way. I won't have to work because I'll be doing a podcast as work. I was like, I need a thing for the fans to be. So, like, I listen to a show, Tell 'em Steve Dave, and their fans are ants. A-N-T-S. And there's a story behind that, because basically it's like the philosophy that most people are ants. They're not, like, you know, big famous influencer people. They're just, you know, ants. You just do your little part in the world, and then you go away and die. And what your opinion is on things doesn't really matter, and blah, blah, blah. It sounds very depressing, but it's funny to me. I find it funny. And also, like, reality check. It's a great alternative to, you know, what other people do on their shows. Because sometimes they'll be like, oh, a donor is like a... I think Jordan Jesse Go has donor levels that are like Golden Eagle and Platinum whatever and stuff. Which are funny and jokey, but also, like, this person's great. As opposed to, like, the fans are ants, and they're all terrible. It was a fun time, too, when that started happening, because people were unhappy. Some people were like, calling us ants is insulting. Like, shouldn't we be bees or something? Like, something that's good? And it was like, oh, you've missed the point entirely. If you want to be a bee, then you're no longer an ant, my friend. And you do not fall in line with the ethos of the ant. So maybe you should reevaluate your life. You need to take a hard look at your life and think about something. Think about what you're doing with it. But I was like, I need a thing for the fans to be. And I don't know what I want it to be, but I do have some ideas of what I don't want it to be. Which is a very common and very annoying position that people hold, right? Like, I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want when I see it. But I don't want it to be, like, helpful snowmen or helpful snow people or whatever. That's too long, and it's too... I don't want it to be the name of the show is also the thing. Because that seems very uncreative. I don't know. It seems like easy. I could just be like, if I was going to do that, right, I could be like helpful snow listeners. You know, I don't know if I want to call you guys like snowballs. That seems weird. Because I don't know why you're balls. And I don't know that the ball is like indicative of like anything. It doesn't mean anything. The ant idea means something. The, you know, platinum angels means something. Right? But snowballs doesn't mean... It's not like I've ever... Whatever. Mark Maron does his, like, what the fuckers, what the fuckerinos kind of thing. I guess he makes a big joke out of the fact that his fans don't actually have any kind of terminology that work. What the fuckers, what the fuckineers. It's just like, there's a million things you could be, and you're all of them, and none of them, and whatever. And that's what that is. But I feel like I need something, because I want fans of this show to also be like, we are X. We are this thing. We're this. We're represented by X animal or mascot or whatever, or thing. There's got to be a thing. I am leaving the door open for the thing to be very stupid. I don't want anyone to back away from thinking about doing it because it's stupid. That would be a mistake. We've never turned something down here because it's stupid. Okay? We're not uptight like that. We are down loose as opposed to uptight. That's an important thing to know about this show. If you are listening for the first time and you want to get in on the ground floor, you picked a great episode because we're deciding what you should be called. You know, and it's not, am I totally closed to the idea of it being like a sponsored thing? So it'd be like, fans of this show are the Subway 6-inchers. Subway, eat fresh? Is that still what they do? Do they still eat fresh? Is that kind of... Do you think it's weird that... I'm sure that Subway stock or, like, Subway purchases dropped for a while when Jared, it turned out he was, like, a pedophile or a sex offender or something. But doesn't that seem weird to you? I mean, they picked him as their spokesman, their spokes-thin man. But, like, I'm pretty safe in assuming that Subway did not know that that was going on. And, like, it's hard for me to translate that to Subway. I know he was, like, a spokesman and, like, the face of Subway and stuff, but it's not like they're trying to bring him back. It's not like when they found out what was going on that Subway was like, hey, you know, fucking child touchers have to eat. Everybody's got to eat. I mean, ironically, it's probably he's a better spokesman because I think Subway sandwiches are like prison food. Boom. I don't know. Sometimes don't you wonder, like, I wonder if... Did Subway food change at some point? Because I remember when I was young man, I loved Subway. I thought, like, it tasted so good. I thought the bread smelled so good. There was a Subway that opened up next to a movie store, and I would be, like, in the movie store and smelling Subway and be like, God damn, that smells great. I want to eat that bread. And now it's like I go into a Subway and it smells bizarre. It smells like some weird approximation of what someone thinks sandwich bread should smell like. Or, like, you go by a Burger King and you smell the Burger King. You smell that flame-broiled smell, which I was like, is this just, like, a chemical they're pumping out? Because I don't believe you that you're flame-broiling these burgers on site. I would bet you that those burgers come from a factory with the grill lines in them already. I've never been as sure about my love life, my future, as I have been that there ain't no grill back there. But yeah, so, you know, it still smells good. It smells like Burger King still smells like a food smell to me, and Subway doesn't smell like a food smell to me anymore. Keeping all that in mind, I'm still totally willing to say, like, fans of this show are known as the Subway 6-incher. Subway, eat fresh. Forget about that guy. I guarantee you, if you did an ad for Subway on a podcast, it would be, like, in bold copy at the top. Like, if you mention Jared at all, in any tangential fashion, like, you forfeit the money and fuck off. Lose our contact info immediately. Go die. I promise you they don't like that. They do not get into that concept. They're not buying into that one. So I would be willing to do that, though, because it's not like fans of this show are losing something that they had before. Like, I'd be like, oh my god, I've surrendered the integrity of this show for the sake of money. It's like, I mean, they weren't called something before that I took away. It's not like when a stadium, like Mile High Stadium, turns into Invesco Field or whatever, Sports Authority Field, shit like that. The Sprint Center. At least the Sprint Center kind of sounds like, well, I guess athletes are sprinting around. That's something. I might believe... that. I find it funny that Comiskey Park turned into U.S. Cellular Field and is colloquially known as the Cell. It's like, yeah, it's a prison cell for those Chicago White Sox and their fans. That's a nice association to make when you go to a baseball game. So, but even the Sears Tower to the Willis Tower, right? I'm not changing it. I'm just creating it for the first time. So if we're creating it from whole cloth and attach some bullshit to it, that is the way that I am roundabout justifying that concept slash possibility. But also, I guess I feel very able to freely talk about that as an idea, because that's all it is. Because there ain't no fucking spot. Subway is not coming over to be like, oh my god, would you please advertise? Plus, I mean, Subway, it would be stupid for Subway to put up any kind of advertisement. Because all you need to keep Subway at the front of your mind is to have fucking eyes. Because if you have fucking eyeballs, you're driving around and seeing a Subway every 20 minutes. It's not like a mystery here. It's not an exciting, weird thing. Oh, Subway, I've never heard of that. If you've got a blimpy, you gotta fucking tell me about that. You gotta put up a sign, because I'm not gonna know there's a blimpy here, or a Sbarro, or something like that. I have no idea where the closest blimpy or Sbarro is to me. I can pretty much just, like, get in the car and drive a direction, and I will go past the Subway. So really, it's like the storefronts themselves, the ubiquity of the storefronts is all you need as far as advertising. I don't know why they would do commercials and stuff like that. I do think it's weird that, like, fast food joints, too, will have... So you get a kid's meal, right? Like, you get a Happy Meal. But now it's like, instead of fries, you can get apple slices or something like that. I just think that's sad. I think kids live a sad life these days. Because I'm like, you just fucking make your kid eat an apple with lunch, and then they eat McDonald's for dinner. And, like, replacing fries with an apple slice, come on, man. That's terrible. My stepmom, one of my stepmoms. I don't know if I would call my dad's third wife my stepmom, because she was not around a lot, and also she didn't show up till I was, like, 17. This is a weird thing that people without divorced parents probably never think of, but, like, when does a woman become not your stepmom and is your dad's wife? Because, I don't know. I don't think she would ever be like, oh, yeah, I raised those kids. I had any sort of influence in raising those kids. I mean, if your dad gets remarried and you're 40 and your dad's, like, 70s, he doesn't even ever suggest, like, she's going to be your new stepmom, right? Unless he's a hilarious dad who's making a joke about, like, isn't this fucking weird? But anyway, completely lost track of why I was... Oh, yes. Okay, so my stepmom, my first stepmom. One thing that I can't get behind, even though it seems good, is like we would order pizza and she would make us eat like carrot sticks with pizza. And I was like, this is insane. Why are we doing this? I know why, like, I know you want us to eat healthy and stuff, but it's like, hey, I kind of feel like once you're eating pizza, the idea of, like, a healthy meal has kind of left the barn. All right, let's just eat the pizza while we're eating the pizza, and then be like, okay, but tomorrow, you know, this is going to be fucking vegetable apocalypse up in here. If that's the way you're going to do it, I think that's the way to go, is to just be like, enjoy it now. Enjoy the pizza while it's here, because tomorrow you're going to eat a fucking taco shell that is just full of carrot sticks and celery. Just dry. Room temperature vegetables in a taco shell. Cauliflower dusted along the top like it's a sauce, even though it's little crumblies of styrofoam. So get ready for that. I would much prefer that. Because it's like, why taint the good experience with something, you know, why be like, I don't want this to be a great pizza dinner. I just want this to be, you know, whatever. It's kind of like when you go to Disney World or something. And if your parents were just sort of like, well, we're going to go to Disney, but we're staying off the resort somewhere like... And it takes us 2 hours to get there every day, and we're going 3 days in a row, and you're just like, eh. We probably should have just bit the bullet and spent the money and stayed on the resort, right? I mean, by the end of that, wouldn't we all be like, oh, fuck it. That's how I feel. Just have the good experience and make it great and then separate it from the shitty experience. And then the shitty experience, it's like, look, if we're having vegetable taco apocalypse that no one would enjoy, just do that. And it's like, eh, no one's going to enjoy this at all. So, whatever. We're not going to worry about whether or not we like it, because we don't. So we'll just put all the shittiness in this bucket and all the goodness in this bucket. That's how buckets work. Buckets, should that be what helpful snowman fans are called? I was called a bucket as an insult in Morocco one time. I was delirious with sickness, and we were in, I don't know where the fuck we were. We were in like some lady's house where she made pillow covers or something, which my mom was really obsessed with bringing home, and she still has them to her credit. But I had this horrible cold, and so then they gave us tea or something, and my mom and my brother were like, shukran, which is like the thank you. And I said, thank you. And I guess a kid there was talking in Arabic to my brother and was saying, like, how come your brother says thank you instead of, you know, our word? And he was kind of like, I don't know. And she's like, well, he's like a lazy bucket or something. So I don't know if bucket means stupid or lazy. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what the qualities of a bucket are. Or maybe it means you just have a cold and don't give a fuck. You're just like, eh, I mean, I don't really have the wherewithal to care about much right now. I'm going to be honest with you, kid. I wasn't even mad she called me a bucket. I was like, eh. Yeah, she's kind of right. I mean, I'm in this other country. I should probably speak the language. Is that racist for me to say? Is it the same for me to say that as it is for me to say that people who are here should speak English? Is that like the same line of thinking, or is it different when you're the person going to the other country? I don't know how that works. It seems like there's like double-edged sword here. By the way, the double-edged sword as an object, like they invented the sword and they sharpened one side. How long did it take for some fucking idiot to be like, wait a second, what if we sharpened both sides of this shit? And was someone else like, no fucking shit. Like, you already did. You already made the entire goddamn thing and you sharpened one side. What were you thinking? Why would you do that? Why in a million years would you be like, eh, one side's good. He's only going to want to slash in one direction, right? It almost seems like a novelty trick sword that somebody made for either to give to their enemies so that their enemy would only be able to slash in one direction and they'd be like, well, we can predict that. Or a novelty trick sword for like magic or something where it's like, well, the one side is sharp but the other side is dull so that I can do tricks on this side and it won't cut me. Double-edged sword, baby. Look at us unearthing language. I saw sort of pre-announcement for this book. And it's a book where someone is looking at language like how language has shaped the world to be horrible is the summary I'd say. But I think it's kind of funny when people talk about language that way where they're like, well, let's find the origin of this word. And it's like, oh, the origin of this word is from a oppressive thing that happened literally 400 years ago. Or like the Greek that this English word is sort of derived from is kind of a terrible word in a way. And I think that's so weird. Because A, do we need like help finding things to be upset about? Do we need to be like, hey, I know you're upset about like 1,000 things, but you should also be upset about this other thing that I bet you never even thought about. And B, I don't know if I buy into the theory here, which is that, like, a word is inherently bad. Or that it's possible for a word to be inherently sort of evil because of its origin or something. I don't know if I buy that. And C, I'm like, if you point out to somebody that a word is like, you're like, okay, this has a very problematic origin that's completely in our past and doesn't really relate to our language, and you can't even really pronounce this word in English because it's, we don't have the characters or the lingual skills to do it. However, here's why you should be offended. Like, is that something we should be doing? Trying to find more things like that? But then, offense, as I understand it, is like an emotion, right? It's a feeling. Like, I feel offended by this. Which is why it's like, okay, well, somebody can be offended by anything. Because it's like, well, if it's a feeling, people can feel any way about anything. And it's like, yeah, I guess that's how things work, right? But if it's an emotion, then can you talk yourself into, can you explain intellectually why you should be offended by a word that you didn't, that nobody finds offensive? And then can you intellectually discuss why you should be offended by it, and from then forward actually be offended by it? Like, can someone be intellectually explained something and then they feel they have a different visceral reaction to it? I mean, yeah, that's probably possible, but is that like an honest reaction to it? And if I didn't know this history, so I would never be offended by this word, or I would never think there was any problem with this word, except now that I know the history of it, I'm offended. I think that's really weird. I mean, is that, am I doing a good job explaining why I find that a weird concept? I don't know if I'm saying that it's not possible or that it's like people who are offended by words are ridiculous. I'm saying, like, well, if you take a word like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, let's just say, okay, you take a phrase like, take the phrase, you know, call a spade, right? And I remember looking this up and it's like, it turns out that's not, that doesn't have a racist origin. But I would argue that, like, yeah, but if, you know, 3 out of 5 people are going to think that it's a racist thing that you're saying, probably just find something else to say. Just skip it, right? There's no reason to insist on using it. And so I guess I'm going the other way with this one. Or, I mean, the example I always think of is the swastika. You can, obviously, you can argue, like, the swastika started out life as a, you know, a peaceful Buddhist symbol or some shit. And then it's like, oh, it was co-opted by Nazis. So really, what it really means is not Nazis. So therefore, I'm going to wear it on a t-shirt. And I don't know if I would argue for that person being correct. Because I'd be like, well, you are correct in terms of the facts, but I don't know how much that matters in light of, like, what everyone's going to think and what the consequences are going to be for you. I don't know if you're making a wise decision. Can I put it that way? I don't know if this is a good choice you're making, sir. And that's really what we got to do, right? Make good decisions. Make good choices, people. Well, we never got to the things that fans could be called. But, you know, hit me up with your ideas of what you would like to be called, or maybe a method of discovering what a good thing would be. Something that's a callback from the show would be good. I mean, I assume that you all don't want to be the Subway 6-inchers as fans of this show, but that might be where we're going. The buckets, that's a possibility. So it's like, when I'm talking, I'm like, you and your fellow buckets. It's insulting, I assume. But it's not really insulting in English, I don't think. I don't think bucket really has much of a connotation. So that's something. That kind of makes it a little inside joke. I don't know. You know what? You think about it. I'll think about it. And let's, we'll reconvene and we'll talk it over. Somebody should talk about two. Talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the